In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today is called Good Shepherd Sunday, and you may have gathered that from our readings. We have Psalm 23. That's so familiar. The Lord is my shepherd. That psalm we know so well, and maybe it's the one we know by heart. We can feel its embrace as soon as it begins. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. Is there any more comforting image of God than as the Good Shepherd? But while Psalm 23 puts us right there, our gospel for today, which introduces the Good Shepherd theme, does begin a bit blurry. There's a lot of discussion in Bible commentaries about whether Jesus is the gate or the shepherd. And if you look at today's gospel in a vacuum, yes, that point can be confusing. It may not be clear if Jesus is saying he's the gate or the shepherd. If our lectionary allowed for just one more passage for today, we would have heard the more familiar phrases of, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. But we're left with the gate issue. So who or what is the gate and who is the shepherd? Now, the way I've sorted this out is that I see the gate as God. Now, okay, we're speaking metaphorically here, right? So God opens the gate, allowing Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to call his sheep who recognize his voice and follow him through the gate. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. And sure, it's all God. The distinction referring to God and Jesus separately is just for the visual, to attempt to bring order to a wonderfully divine chaos we're not capable or meant to understand. God, and the Word of God in the flesh, Jesus, and, spoiler alert, Trinity Sunday's approaching, so let's toss the Holy Spirit into the mix. They, yes, the Holy Trinity is a they our gate and shepherd. And so, if we see God as love, love is the gate, love is what must be opened, and the voice of God in Jesus is what we must hear. That's what gets us through the gate. And within that gate is our safety and our salvation. That's where the Holy Spirit breathes life into our souls. He revives my soul. Today is also the fourth Sunday of Easter. Easter Sunday, when we were finally free to exclaim, Alleluia. It may seem a long time ago, even with the last of our flowers still hanging on for dear life. We're still in Easter season, and we're still using the joyful liturgical white color. And believe it or not, it's spring. But spring has been bloody. A bloody few weeks with senseless gun violence racking our country. A season in which, amidst our Easter alleluias, a teenager shows up at the wrong house. A driver pulls into the wrong driveway. A young woman mistakes another car for her own. A little girl's basketball rolls into the neighbor's yard. An employee is disgruntled. A father asks a neighbor to keep the noise down so his baby can sleep. And the list goes on. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. A few years ago, orange was designated as the color in opposition to gun violence and in solidarity with its victims. And I have an orange stole, and I've worn it before. When I first got it, I thought I would wear it whenever there was a bad shooting. Then I realized I'd always be wearing the stole and it might reduce its effectiveness. So I kind of pick and choose when I wear it now. Today, I'm feeling it especially. Since we're still in Easter joy, we're in the midst of a national bloodbath. I'm changing into that stole right now. And yes, my liturgical color is going to clash with everything around us today. And I'd like you all to note that and perhaps be bothered by it. And maybe, if you like things to look symmetrical and orderly, even a little annoyed by it. Because it goes against the grain, against the season, because it doesn't belong. Here's what else doesn't belong. March 27th, Nashville, 6 killed. March 29th, Memphis, 2 killed, 5 injured. April 1, Baltimore, 3 killed, 1 injured. April 2, Fayetteville, 1 killed, 4 injured. April 2, Moreno Valley, California, 4 injured. April 2, Washington, D.C., 4 injured. April 3, Pueblo, Colorado, 1 killed, 3 injured. April 3, Atlanta, 1 killed, 3 injured. April 3, Jackson, Tennessee, 4 injured. April 4, Philadelphia, 1 killed, 4 injured. April 5, Virginia Beach, 4 injured. April 6, Philadelphia, 4 injured. April 7, New Orleans, 4 injured. April 7, Isle of Palms, South Carolina, 5 injured. April 8, Houston, 4 injured. April 9, Orlando, 3 killed, 2 injured. April 10, Louisville, 5 killed, 4 injured. April 11, Washington, D.C., 1 killed, 4 injured. April 12, Trenton, 4 injured. April 12, Goldsboro, North Carolina, 1 killed, 5 injured. April 12, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1 killed, 3 injured. April 12, Toledo, 1 killed, 5 injured. April 13, Detroit, 5 injured. April 13, Bronx, 4 injured. April 14, Kansas City, 1 killed, 4 injured. April 15, Louisville, 2 killed, 4 injured. April 15, Phoenix, 4 injured. April 15, Newark, 1 killed, 3 injured. April 15, Paterson, New Jersey, 6 injured. April 15, Northridge, California, 1 killed, 3 injured. April 15, Waianahe, Hawaii, 3 killed, 2 injured. April 15, Dadeville, Alabama, 4 killed, 12 injured. April 16, Keysville, Georgia, 4 injured. April 16, Biloxi, 5 injured. April 17, Baltimore, 4 injured. April 18, Fayetteville, North Carolina, 1 killed, 3 injured. April 18, Bodwin, Maine, 4 killed, 3 injured. April 20, Hartford, Connecticut, 1 killed, 3 injured. April 21, Washington, D.C., 8 injured. April 21, Rockmart, Georgia, 4 injured. April 22, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 1 killed, 4 injured. April 23, Jasper, Texas, 11 injured. April 28, Philadelphia, 3 killed, 1 injured. April 28, Cleveland, Texas, 5 killed. April 29, Columbia, South Carolina, 9 injured. April 29, Portsmouth, Virginia, 6 injured. 53 killed and 198 injured just this spring, these past few weeks. Since the beginning of 2023, 151 mass shootings with 217 deaths and 579 injured. And that's not even considering those killed by self-inflicted or accidental gunshot, which brings the numbers to over 10,000. Unwilling martyrs to what cause? We know all the arguments on both sides. Better gun control won't take away legal guns, and illegal guns will still be around, and it will not end gun violence. No laws we pass have completely ended the things they regulate. However, what laws do, at the very least, is to say, we care about this. We will do what we can. We, as a country, do not tolerate this. And it's not the guns alone. It's the systemic trauma most of this nation seems to be suffering from. It's addiction and it's mental illness and it's anguish. And it's a mindset that causes a way of thinking that leads to violent outcomes. We who are through the gate, who are gathered through the gateway of God, the gateway of love, we may be tempted to see the perpetrators of these acts as outside the gate. But we don't know that. We don't know what's in anyone else's soul. Perhaps they were in the gate, and then the voice of their shepherd was blocked out by their frustrations, their anger, their demons. Today's Psalm 23rd, a psalm we hear on many good occasions, is also the go-to psalm for deep distress and suffering. It's used very much on death row. And maybe it's that psalm that gets through in the end, whether it's the end of our life or the end of our rope. Maybe it's all that's represented in that psalm, which becomes the only voice heard. I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. It's a voice we need to hear today in our bloody spring, because even if we block it all out, we know what's going on and we feel it, and we may feel helpless to do anything about it. That's why the Easter Alleluia is something we need to hold close in our hearts, even in a bloody spring. Death is beaten down on Easter through the resurrection, but we need to remember, especially now, there's life and resurrection and transformation to be celebrated every day, not just at Easter. You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me. What are we to do about our bloody spring? There doesn't seem much to do on a practical level. But what we must not do is to look away. What we're empowered to do is to dissolve into the love of our Good Shepherd, to embrace that, and to always pray for those affected, both the victims and the lost souls who do these things. That's acknowledging and living in the gate we've entered. As we move into the Great Thanksgiving, into our Eucharist, I want us all to feel the continued joy of the resurrection, the peace of having a Savior who is our Good Shepherd, the security in our souls of being inside the gate. Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But today, I'd like us to also acknowledge that which does not belong, that which is distracting to see, that which interrupts the beauty before us. I'd like us to be mindful this bloody spring and this orange stole, which doesn't quite go with the season or colors of today, that doesn't quite look right. Because this stole represents this bloody spring, and that doesn't fit. That does not belong. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.